Hey, everybody, it's Rick and Rob. Welcome back to the Nomad Pastor Podcast.
Hey, man.
How are you doing?
I'm great.
Good. All right, so I'm going to read this because it's a long title.
Okay. Okay.
And I'm just going to start by saying we have not prepared for this.
This
is an ad lib gig. All right, so what we want to talk about today is how you walk away from people when you've grown past them, but they refuse to recognize it. And I had in there kind of like kicking the dust off, right? When Jesus has to, you know, he says, sometimes you got to kick the dust off.
Right.
Right. So let's start with that, right? How do you walk away from somebody who just refuses to recognize where you've grown? It's not an easy topic, right? We were sitting here before we started and we said, like, you know, here's like 30 topics that we've got listed and
29 of them needed research. This might have been one of the 29.
I promise you this one needed some research, but it's important because as we grow, we do grow past people.
We do.
And sometimes they don't want to recognize that.
But let me ask you this though. Is it because they don't see the growth in our life?
I think they refuse to see the growth sometimes, right? They see for who you were, like who they remembered you are.
Okay, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I get that.
Well, that's who you've always been.
Right.
What do you mean you're not like going to the bar?
Right.
Or what do you mean you're nice?
We've talked before. A couple of times the conversation has come up about changing our playground and our playmates.
Yeah.
And I think when we breach this topic, when we come into this, we have to remember about those boundaries that we have set.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, we talked about boundaries in life a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. Right. And in that conversation, we talked about you gave the example of Linda with this is my yard.
That's right.
Inside the fence, in my house, and in the refrigerator, in the bathroom.
That's right. Refrigerator friends.
Right. Yeah. So I think we need to, when we see someone that refuses to look at the growth in our life.
Yeah.
I think we need to make sure that the boundary that they are on the other side of is secure and it's safe for them and for us.
So how do we
get them there?
Yeah, how do we do that?
I think there's got to be some spiritual fortitude in making sure that the things that we allow ourselves to, I don't want to say be involved in, but the things that we allow ourselves to partake of or participate, is something that's unquestionably for the glory of God.
Yeah. I mean, the scripture we're talking about is Matthew 10:14,
uh-huh.
Right? If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet.
Right.
Right. So that's very open-ended.
Yeah.
If you just take that one scripture, right?
Oh, yeah, but you,
we know that you can't just take the one.
Right.
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 But if you just look at that one scripture, I think it's very maybe confusing to people.
Well, that and it's one of those I told you so scriptures that it gets used as a I told you so scripture.
It does. It does.
You know, you're not following what I think you should be following. I'm going to shake the dust off, the dust off my feet.
Right.
I'm not going to have anything to do with you anymore.
Right.
And I think it becomes an open-ended excuse to run, jump, and hide.
I agree. So let me ask it this way, right?
Okay.
So you have a relationship with somebody, friend,
mm-hmm.
whatever it may be, right? And they don't, one, recognize the change that you have went through,
mm-hmm.
and they're unwilling to listen
mm-hmm.
or accept it, right?
Okay.
And having a relationship with them can be detrimental to your walk.
Jeopardizes what you've already started.
Right. Yeah. And so when you shake the dust off or you walk away, right, that doesn't mean forever.
True.
Right? I think that's also a misconception. It was for me, right? When I first came to Christ, I was like, oh, shake the dust off.
Right.
Right. You're out of my life.
Yeah.
But that's not really what we're talking about, right? Because at some point you have to be open enough that they may call you and go, hey, remember what you were talking about? I get it.
Yeah.
But you gotta leave with the ability for that call to happen.
Sure.
I've been terrible at that.
Well, and burning bridges doesn't do anything but light the path that you just came from.
Absolutely, right?
You know, that's the bottom line to that.
Yeah.
And so I try not to allow those things to happen. Now, I'm not saying that I've never closed off a relationship.
Yeah.
But I don't blow it up.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think I blow it up, but I don't, you know, it's not like cordial, right?
Yeah.
I'm not like pulling the pin and throwing the grenade.
Sure.
In, right. But I'm not also like, look, if you ever need anything, you just call me.
Now, there are people that if they would call it, I would be, I'm not answering the phone.
Yeah. I'd be confused as to why they're calling.
That's, well, and part of it is because of a past life.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and now there are certain people that would continue to suck the life spiritually out of you if they could.
Absolutely.
And you can call to mind people that I can call to mind people that's happened to me.
In an instant.
Right. But to be able to shake the dust off and them understand that I'm shaking the dust off, maybe two different things.
I think it's absolutely two different things. But how do we deal with that? How do we walk away from them?
That's I think there's just that simple turning away and being able to put your stop sign up in front of them and say, this is the end of it. You know,
right.
I have to call it quits at this point.
But when you do that, there's generally some resentment there.
There is. Right. Most of the time. Yeah, you're right. Most of the time there is.
And so when you do it and there ends up being this resentment, you know, I think to some extent it do you worry about what they're going to do or say? I mean, I know so, it's weird, you know, I guess it kind of even comes back to like we could talk about drama too, like the drama that we have in our lives.
Right.
Right. Because that's kind of what this is. Like I like, you know, when I talk about like how do I walk away from that, I really just want to walk away from the drama.
Right.
Right. Because they don't get it. Right.
They don't.
You know, whenever we go back to Utah, you know, I grew up in Utah. Whenever we go back to visit the kids or the grandkids or my mom or my sisters, Linda will be like, do you want to get together with some people you grew up with? No.
Yeah.
No, really don't. Yeah. Now, there's a couple of them that I would have no problem seeing and hanging out with. But what did they come with? I don't know. Right.
So let me ask you this. So in, you know, going back home and those kind of things and going back to roots.
Yeah.
And not wanting to reengage.
Yeah.
The things that you actively walked away from.
Yeah.
When you made the decision for Christ.
Yeah.
When you go back to those things, is there a temptation to flaunt it in their face?
I don't know that I will say I don't know that I do that intentionally.
Okay.
Right? But maybe they take it that way.
Okay.
I don't think I intentionally do that.
Sure.
You know? But maybe I don't know. Like, that's a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Right? When I really start to think about it, and I don't know. And maybe there is part of me that does because of how dominant the Mormon religion is where I grew up.
Okay. Right? I get that. I buy that.
Yeah. It's not like I'm, you know, going to where like, you know, 80% were Christian. It's like right. going where 80% were Mormon.
Right.
And there's a problem, you know, when I talk to somebody who's Mormon and they're like, oh, my God is this. And mm-hmm. I'm like, really? Well, how did Genesis happen?
Yeah.
Right? Before the creation of everything, right? God said, let there be light.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if you believe God was a man and walked the earth had to exist before he created it.
Right.
That doesn't work in any scenario.
No.
None.
No.
Not a single one.
Not, no.
And so do I think I'm – maybe. Maybe I'm going out there with a chip on my shoulder because I'm like, look, you don't know. And I don't want you to burn.
So let's talk about that for a second, because you go out there with that mindset of you don't know and I don't want you to burn.
Yeah.
Is it's not a nanny nanny boo boo type of thing at that point, because I got it, you don't.
No, it's not.
But
I got it and you can have it.
That's the point. That's the point.
Yeah.
So when we go back to those situations and we I asked the question, do you flaunt it? I don't believe that's either one of our mentalities
I would
or mindsets.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
However, I do agree that what we possess spiritually as far as spiritual maturity or a biblical knowledge or biblical wisdom, which there's a difference in knowledge and wisdom.
Absolutely.
When we apply those things, that we want people to see us as different, so that when we are in those situations, even though there are definite points of where we have shaken that dust off,
right,
does not mean, like you said, that it's a permanent thing, so that we can't show someone what salvation has done in our life.
That's right. That's right. I think we absolutely can, and it's just a fine line,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's such a fine line, and you know, it's so easy to take scripture and say, well, this is what it says,
mm-hmm.
right? It says do this.
Right.
Right. He went home, right? And nobody believed Jesus, like, you're the carpenter's son, right?
Right.
And he's like, I'm out. Like, sometimes you just got to kick the dust off.
Right.
And so sometimes I feel like, look, I'm not comparing myself. Let me just stay right there. Right.
Right. Yeah.
When I go back to Utah and I'm like, look, you guys got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You got it wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Read your Bible.
Get away from something that's been added to it.
Just read the Bible.
Right.
It could be the King James. It could be the NIV. It could be the New King James. Whatever. The Message. I don't care. But just read the Bible,
mm-hmm.
not the five other scriptures that you guys have, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pearl of Great Price, Doctrine and Covenants, Book of Mormon, and there's one other, I think, but or maybe not. There's one other. I don't remember what it's called, though.
I don't know.
But, you know, so I try to not be mean about it.
Yeah.
You know? But at some point, I'm just like, I love you, but.
You have to make the choice of whether or not to believe this or not.
Yeah. And I guess I just don't understand how you can't. Like, you know, I've got a lot of people in my life that look at me now and they're like, holy, wait, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Right? This isn't the Rick we knew.
Yeah.
Now, it's not my family. My family, whether they believe or not, they're like, praise God for you.
Yeah.
Like you're doing, like, love to see it, love to see the passion. You know, but friends I've had, they're just like, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're a one and zero guy. Why, how? I'm like, well, because it's fact. Like, if you really do the research.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you're
exactly.
You're questioning something that you haven't even studied.
Right.
And if you do the research, it's a one or a zero. It's true or it's not true. And,
mm-hmm.
and it's true.
Yeah.
Right. You can't disprove it.
You can't. You can't. And, you literally can't.
And so that's, I think, what makes it hard about walking away from people. And, you know, it's not that I don't want to hang out with them or be friends with them or associate with them, because I still would. But at some point, you got to go, I pray for you.
Yeah. And but at that point, you have to realize, too, that because they refuse,
yeah,
you know, there has to be, how do I put this? There has to be that continual, like you said, I'll pray for you. But also, let me put it to you this way. You've heard the teaching, the talk, the book, read the book probably about that it takes 7 different meetings for someone to accept Christ.
Yeah.
Right? Like somebody plants a seed and then somebody comes back in and waters, you know, and all this.
Yeah, it's a whole process.
It's a process, right. And it takes 7 meetings of the gospel for someone to actually make a conversion decision. When we come across somebody that refuses to make that decision, in my mind, we don't just pray for that person, but we pray for the next person to come along that's going to be number 2 or number 3 or number 6 or number 5 or number 7.
Yeah, I never thought about that.
You know, because even though we're at a point where we have to shake the dust off because we're not effective in that anymore.
Yeah.
We have to pray for the next person, whether we're number 1 or where we're the number 5.
Yeah.
The next person to come along, you know.
No, you're absolutely right. I've never thought of it like that. In fact, Carl used to tell the story how in a church that he used to pastor, there was a guy in the community that always needed help doing different stuff. And Carl would always go help him and, you know, but the guy would just never – it didn't matter what happened, right? He wasn't coming to church. He wasn't coming to Christ. He wasn't – it didn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, a couple of years later, the guy had, I guess, ended up moving. And I'm probably butchering the story, but you'll get the gist of it, right? Uh-huh. The gist of it. But a couple of years later, the guy came back and saw Carl, and he had given his life to Christ.
Wow.
Right?
Wow.
You know, and internally, Carl was like, really?
Yeah.
I put in all that effort and time?
Yeah.
But he was one of the 7.
Right.
And he recognized that. Like, he said, initially I felt this way, and but then I realized that I was just part of the process to get him there.
Yeah.
Right. He didn't say, you know, one of the 7. He just said he just realized he was
born in the process. Yeah.
And so it makes sense, right, that you shouldn't just pray for that person, but you should pray for the process that's occurring.
Right. Right.
I never thought about that.
Yep.
It might make it easier to kick the dust off if you think of it that way.
Probably.
Right.
Probably.
Because there's also this guilt, I think, right?
Yeah.
For me.
For me, too, because where have I failed in this?
That's right.
You know?
Right? Like, I've done all this work, right? I've studied. Yeah. I've went to classes. Yeah. You know, I've done
what
a year of online study, right? Why is this person not – why is what I say not helping?
Yeah.
And that's the ego part of me.
True. Right?
The pride.
And definitely mine.
Right? The pride, my ego saying, come on.
Yeah.
Get it done. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter what I say.
Yep.
It's all about what the Spirit puts on their heart. Yeah.
Because we're not the one that does the conversion anyway.
Ain't that the truth?
Yeah.
It don't matter how much we try.
Mm-mm. No.
No.
It's the Holy Spirit's job.
Yeah, it is.
Now, the way I present the Holy Spirit.
Well,
matters.
It absolutely matters.
Yeah.
It absolutely matters. So how do you deal with it in that instance when they refuse to recognize it?
So I'm running through the races in my mind of all those times that it actually happened. And I had to, you just have to come to a realization that you're not the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
And when somebody actually blatantly refuses, you know, there has to be, for me, I have to explain to you, look, my choice in my life is this.
Yeah.
Now, your decision in the way that you either refuse or want to put on hold or whatever. That's your choice and your decision. I pray that that changes.
Yeah.
But it's not going to affect me.
Yeah.
And you can't let it affect you.
And I find myself, like I said, wondering like what I did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Or what could I have done different?
Mm-hmm.
Or how could I have been, like, maybe I explained it wrong. Maybe I didn't understand.
Yeah.
Why did the spirit convict him because of what, like, I got the spirit in me.
Did I not do it right?
Right?
Yeah.
Was I doing it out of pride?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I start to think about. Was I doing it for my own ego or was I doing it for God?
Was I doing it to check a box?
Yeah.
Or so that I can say, look what I did.
Yeah.
Or did I do this exactly for God?
Yeah.
Yeah. I've been guilty of asking myself that at the same time.
Yeah.
You know? But that comes back to humbling ourselves, though.
Yeah. Do you find that's harder in the circles we run around in now?
No.
I don't either. I think it's easier.
I really do too. And so here's it's.
And I only asked that, and I knew what your answer was going to be because, I feel like the circles that we run around in today are some of the most knowledgeable biblically that I've ever met.
Yeah.
They may not be, walking with Christ.
Right. They may not be willing to show it, but they know it.
That's right. That's right.
And so let me ask you this. So in the no answer,
yeah,
that we just both gave,
yeah,
where do you, because I get asked this a lot, where do you draw that line?
Well, for me, I'm just never going to give up on them.
Me either.
Right. And, there needs to be a light in a dark place.
Definitely.
Right. And there may be days that's the only light that's going to be in that dark place is me or you.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
That's true.
And, I've had people ask me before, like, oh, you go in there and like preach and talk about the Bible? No.
Not every single time. Now there's a lot
if they
of
had, like I pray, right?
Sure.
Like we went to Biketoberfest at the a local club's.
Right, right. Clubhouse, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Right?
And as soon as I walked in the door, one of the guys was like, man, I'm just going through it.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, let's talk about what's going on.
Yeah.
And we talked about his daughter and just some stuff that's going on. And I'm like, well, let's pray about that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, I'm not opening, like walking in the door, like here's my Bible.
Right.
Here's my cross.
Yeah.
I got the holy water in my pocket. Right.
Get back, Satan.
Right.
Yeah.
Right?
No, not doing that.
Not doing that. But
no. But if the opportunity arises about what Christ has done in my life.
That's right.
If the opportunity arises to give someone an encouragement to search something in the scripture,
yeah.
If the opportunity arises for me to share a scripture with someone or to be able to, just like you did at Biketoberfest, to be able to pray for somebody, which I came in late for
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah. We were only there about an hour.
Yeah. I came in at like 3:30, 4 o'clock, something like 4:30, something like that. Anyway, long story short, if I get those opportunities, then I'm going to take those opportunities.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I'm going to walk into that dark place shining a light so that everyone in that place knows that Jesus Christ lives inside me.
Yeah.
And I am not going to stop showing the Christ that lives inside of me that could possibly live inside someone else at the same time.
Yeah. So I think that's why this topic for me is harder.
Me too.
Because we talk about having to walk away from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
We really shouldn't. Right? Because the things that I talk about walking away from because somebody doesn't this or somebody doesn't that, every clubhouse we go to is that person.
True.
Right? And we're not walking away from them.
No. I'm not.
Right?
I'm
going back over and over and over again.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And now, look, they've never said don't come.
No.
Right. They want us to come. They want to talk.
They want us to be there.
They want us to be there. They want to hang out. But for the same thing that I'm saying, I'm going to walk away from this person.
Mm-hmm.
One of those people that I'm freely going to and not willing to walk away from,
mm-hmm.
They're doing the same thing.
Sure.
So why would I walk away from one and not the other?
I think we define what our ministry is.
Yeah.
And we stay so laser focused on what we think that ministry is that we won't deviate from it to the left or to the right to make sure that we're not doing the bulldozer effect.
Yeah.
So when we stood up, Forge Brotherhood, sat down with a very prominent member.
Yep.
And he and I had been friends for, we've known each other.
A long time.
For a long time.
Yeah.
And so we were sitting down and the conversation turned to recovery.
Okay.
As it often does with him.
Yes, it does.
And he's very proud of what he has accomplished.
Yes.
In the however many years.
That's right.
I am too. I'm very proud of what God has accomplished in my life. And he told me, he said, Batman, he said, the road you're going down may be a mile long, but there's 2 miles of ditches that you can fall into there's a ditch on both sides of the road.
That's right.
And I think about what he said. And I think about that application of that outside of recovery.
Yeah.
And I think about that application in an everyday spiritual walk. And be careful about what we're laser focused on.
Yeah.
Because we need to have this effect of not just staying in our lane, but making sure that everyone that we come into contact with, every single person.
Yeah.
At the grocery store.
Everywhere.
In a clubhouse.
Yeah.
At work. Friends we grew up with.
Yeah.
Know who I am and what I am.
Yeah.
And who I stand for.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
I mean, that's a great way to say it. I just, you know, as we were doing this, it just came in my mind, like, I have, like, kicked the dust off and walked away.
Mm-hmm.
But I wouldn't be willing to do that today to people. So why?
Sure. Why was it okay then?
Or not only why, I guess maybe why was it okay then, but I think for a long period of time, I probably still said I would have still done it today. But not to the people I minister to. Maybe I felt like it was okay because they just didn't get it.
But
it wasn't part of my ministry.
Okay, so
right?
So
I'm not saying I was right. I was clearly wrong in that thought process, right?
Right. So do we draw a line between someone that we do we draw a line between somebody that we know clearly rejects Christ or biblical teaching versus someone that we may have an opportunity with later on that we meet in a clubhouse or an event?
I mean, for a long time I've said yes.
Okay.
Right? But I'm not to say, you know, if I said yes to it now, I would be saying yes that I could have never.
That's, yeah.
Right?
Right. Right.
I didn't grow up in the church like you did. Right?
Right. Right.
I believed there was a God.
Mm-hmm.
I had read the Bible. That didn't mean I believed it.
Right.
Right? I believed there was a God, but I didn't know about all that other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could easily just said, you ain't worth it because you don't. You read it and you don't believe it.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I agree. And I don't want to sound holier than thou.
Yeah.
But we too many times let me say this. Let me say it. Let me say it this way. I look at what I know God has called me to and given me in a ministry.
Yeah.
It's his ministry. He's just allowing me to walk in it.
Absolutely.
Right?
Absolutely.
And both of us have said, hey, we feel like we're called to this particular thing.
Yeah.
And being in clubhouses and being in events and sharing the love of God and the salvation of Christ is part of that.
Yeah.
But I am guilty of, ignoring other things over here because my ministry's pointed this way.
I think I've done that too.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I get checked on this from time to time.
Yeah.
By lots of people around.
Being checked today.
Yeah, I am. I definitely am.
There's a reason, I guess, that we were supposed to have this conversation. Yeah. Like, I'm thinking about it today. I do the same thing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I'm laser focused.
Yeah.
What I'm supposed to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Katie, bar the door. Keep me from doing it.
What about that person freezing to death over there?
Yeah. Right.
Well, you know, somebody will get over there. Right? There's other ministries. Right? But we all find ourselves doing it.
We do.
Right?
We do.
Like, oh, maybe you should call for him.
Yeah.
Great ministry, right? Heather Young. I'm sure you know him. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
What are we doing?
See, you're catching me on this. You're catching me on this.
I don't write the topics. I mean, maybe I have.
Yeah, you wrote that one.
I did write that one. But, well, you know what? It probably wasn't me that wrote it. Linda sends me text messages all the time like, hey, I was praying and you should do a podcast on this.
Yeah.
Yes, dear. What do you want me to say? No.
No.
She said, I was praying and God told me to give this to you.
Right. No, we can't.
Okay, here we go.
So, but when we get back to, you know, being so laser focused on things, is I think we use that as an excuse to shake the dust off.
We do. Absolutely, we do.
So how do we change that?
Well, I mean, I can give you the canned response of like, we got to give it to God.
True.
Right. Which we do.
We do. We do. But still, but how do we flesh that out? How do we put feet on that?
You know, what we have to do is we have to get outside of ourselves. Right.
Boom.
We have to get outside of our ego and our pride and our fear. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm comfortable in this community.
Yes.
The community that we minister to, like they're my people.
Right. Right.
Right. I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable other places.
Mm-hmm. True.
And so what we got to do is get out of ourself, get out of our own way, right? Get out of the fear cycle and just help people.
There's no other way around that.
Yeah. And I mean, recognize that, like you said, it takes 7 interactions.
Mm-hmm.
Recognize that it takes 7 interactions, that you may be one.
Right.
So don't beat yourself up when it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
And they refuse to recognize how much growth you've had.
Right.
Just got to love them.
You got to keep on loving them.
It's hard. I know.
But at the same time, you know, how cool is it when you're number 7?
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It really is. It's amazing.
It really is.
I mean, it couldn't get much better than that.
I don't think so.
You know? But then maybe it can't get much better than being number 1.
Or number 4.
Whatever number it is.
But being able to share the difference in your life, your testimony, being able to share the gospel with somebody. You know, Paul said, when we talked about joy, you know,
I count
it all joy to be able to pray. You know,
that's right.
I believe in that mindset, that mentality of being able to share Jesus, to share Christ in all things. I read something this morning that was really kind of interesting. It was about Paul and Silas and when they were in the prison. And they'd been beaten, you know, before they went into prison. And they took them. And
that's what they cast out the demon, right?
Right, right.
From the girl.
From the girl. And they beat them and then they put them in the inner room of the prison.
Yeah.
So there wasn't no way these dudes were supposed to get out. These cats are supposed to be up in there.
Yeah.
And they're chained.
It's like max.
They're shackled and chained.
It's max, right?
Yep. It's maximum security. They're shackled and chained inside this inner room, right? Yeah. And they're praising and singing and glorifying God. The earthquake comes. The doors open. And everybody takes off except them.
That's right.
They stayed. They stayed in their junk.
Yeah.
In the middle of the max, to be able to share Christ with the main jailer.
That's right.
And the cool thing about it all was because they stayed in the muck, because they stayed in the max, in the middle, shackled and chained.
Right.
The jailer, his wife, their family and their servants were saved.
Right, right.
They were saved because they stayed.
Yeah.
They didn't shake the dust.
They didn't walk away.
They didn't walk away.
They could have. And for all rightness, they probably should have. But
everybody else did. Bamoosed.
Right. They're like, we're boning out.
And the dude draws his sword. He's about ready to kill himself. And Paul says, wait, hold up. We ain't going nowhere.
Yeah.
We're still here.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Let me talk to you.
Yeah.
And so because of staying, we get, all this focus on, I'm not deviating from this. This is where I'm going to stay,
This is my ministry.
Yeah. But Paul realized that it wasn't just about his audience with Caesar.
Yeah.
That as he's going along the way, it's about everybody that he interacts with along the way.
It's a great way to do it.
And so in our movement, in the ministry that God's entrusted us with, it's not just about what goes on in that clubhouse.
That's right.
But it's about everybody along the way. That's what I like to call the bulldozer effect.
Yeah, it is.
Because we're getting everything that we can.
Yeah.
As we go.
Praise God, too, because we could be doing a lot of things, but we're not, right?
Yep.
We've made that choice to follow and
continue to follow.
As long as one person, right? It's just like if we save one person, it was all worth it.
Yep. Right?
The whole life.
Mm-hmm.
Everything we've done, just one person allows it to be better.
Right. Right. It makes everything worth it.
Yeah.
Jesus in the 99.
Yeah.
Left the 99 to save the one.
So here's how I'll try to end this.
Right? Okay.
Recognize when you're dealing with people who don't understand your growth, that don't understand the walk that you've been through and refuse to accept it, that you still have to love them.
Absolutely.
Right. That when Christ was getting ready to be put on the cross, they didn't understand.
Mm-mm.
They didn't recognize who he was.
Mm-mm.
And they cheered for his death.
Sure.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't stop loving them.
No.
Even on the cross, he said, forgive them, for they know not what they do.
Well, but look at Peter's denial.
I know. Right? Three times you're going to deny me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And he says, forgive them, Father.
Yeah.
So this is for me as much as it is for anybody else, right?
I take it.
But don't walk away.
Mm-mm.
You may need a break, right? A break is okay.
It's okay.
Don't have an angry break.
No.
Don't say things that can never be undone.
Right.
But leave the door open for that spirit to do its job.
Sure. Sure.
Right.
It doesn't matter if you're one or six or seven.
That's right.
Somebody else is coming along.
That's right.
And if you burn it to the point to where number four, five, six won't have any effect.
Yeah, because you burned it so bad.
Yeah.
Don't leave it nuclear.
No, don't do that at all.
Yeah.
Don't do that at all.
All right. It's been a good one.
It has been.
All right.
It has been.
Hey, everybody, I want to say thanks for listening. Hey, we've asked a couple times. Send us an email.
Please do.
Hello at nomadpastor.org.
Yeah.
Let us know what you want to talk about if there's a topic.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to be on the show,
hey,
let us know.
Yeah. We'd like to do, because look, we've interviewed people before.
Yeah.
And Rick has interviewed people beforehand, and we like talking with other people.
I talked with, I mentioned All For Him. I talked with Heather about being on the show, and she's like, I'm down.
Cool.
And so we'll figure out what that schedule looks like.
Let's do that.
Yeah.
You know what we ought sometime do as well? Why don't I interview our wives?
I'm down. If I can get Linda to do it, absolutely.
It would take a little bit. Rebecca would be a little apprehensive about being on YouTube, but
yeah.
If we don't tell her.
It's kind of hard to Look, yeah, I've been apprehensive about being on YouTube too.
Let's just you sprung it on me. I'm just kidding.
But go ahead, send us an email, hello@nomadpastor.org. Yep. We still want to know where you find joy.
I right? do.
How you find joy.
Yeah.
Right? Don't forget, if you're listening, we're also on YouTube. You can go to YouTube, search nomadpastor.org, and or just Nomad Pastor, and it'll
bring it right up. And we're on every single podcast platform.
That's right. Which is pretty crazy.
It's nuts.
I know. And if you Google us and you just type Nomad Pastor, we're like every one on the first two pages or something.
Yeah.
So that's pretty awesome.
It is awesome.
Praise God.
Yeah.
And subscribe, right? If you go to YouTube, you can subscribe. If you go to whatever podcast platform, you can subscribe.
Yeah.
Give us a thumbs up. Give us a like. Share it with your friends.
Yeah. Now, on YouTube, we had to turn comments off.
Yeah. Well, when you mark it as
religious.
Not religious. When you mark it as content for all ages.
Yeah, you have to.
It does it automatically.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't even get a choice. So when you say, like, it's for everybody, like kids, you know, approved for kids,
mm-hmm.
it just turns them off.
Okay.
Which I love.
I'm right? fine with the two, but, you know, but send us an email at hello@nomadpastor.org.
Yeah. So, look, have a blessed week, everybody. And remember, love God.
And love people.